Alright, welcome to Brave New Dungeon. My name's Big Al. We're about to start the show. This is a D&D live play podcast with a little Dungeons & Dragons talk in between. So, hope you're ready. Strap on those dice bags. Here we go. Alright, welcome to Brave New Dungeon. This is Big Al, back again with another episode. This is episode the Pearl number 18, and this is the start of session 8, and I think this is the first session after we had all got our player's handbook, so hopefully we're getting all the rules right, or working through them, player's handbook-wise. But yeah, let's see, last time they finished up with the beating up on some guys that were trying to rob them and still looking for that nasty gnome. So yeah, that's it for now, and I will see you on the other side.
What was our status after the end of the last encounter? Did we get a long rest when we leveled up?
No, actually, you're just standing. We cut it off right there, standing over the dead bodies. So yeah, we'll pick it up right from there, because you guys have seemed to attracted a little bit of attention. But yeah, we can
some sort of elf.
Yeah, he's peeking at you out a window. Very nice looking high definition elf.
Compared to the background, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, he's all
super clear. It's like, yeah, hey, there's an elf over there. Can't really see the buildings, but
so look at me. Yeah, so unless there's any questions or whatever, that we can just jump right in. We'll go for it. So yeah, so recap. You guys made it to Kin Baraz. Oh man, what the hell's wrong with me? Kin Barakaz is like kind of the city and the island name. And it's a rundown. It's like it's almost, you know, like a smuggler's town, pirate's town. It's run by wealthy merchants mostly, and the town guard is basically just a group of thugs that are paid by the wealthy of the city and the taxes of the poor, mostly by the taxes of the poor, but commanded by the wealthy. And it's just one big slum really, except for an area where the really fancy houses are, the merchants that basically control all the trade that comes through in and out of the city. There aren't very many elves here. That was very noticeable right from the get start. and so you guys were always, I mean, everybody's just looking at you, and you tried to kind of cover up your pointy ears and your high definition faces. And, But yeah, everywhere you went, people were kind of reluctant to get friendly, and so you came across this half orc guy that said, "Oh yeah, I could take you to Captain Wigglewam and the gnome," and then he took you to this place and then ambushed you trying to steal your goods, but you guys took him out pretty easily. It is rain.
No, that's not what happened in that.
It was
a whole bunch of missing on everyone's part.
There was a lot of low rolls. Yeah, there were some bad rolls. And it's raining. What's that?
I was just going to say we were glad we were up a back alley so not too many people could see it.
Yeah, yeah. No, it was pretty embarrassing. Yeah. And it's raining. It's been raining. And it's getting on towards evening. You guys got there in the kind of middle afternoon and talked around for quite a while. But the sun's going down and it's raining, and you're in this alley with a bunch of dead bodies. And if you look back up towards the street, you can notice that people are walking by, slow down, take in the picture of the bloody mess, and keep walking by. But, you know, it probably won't be long until somebody might... You're a little anxious that some of those thug-like town guard might show up any minute. So... Yeah, yeah. Someone mentioned maybe just rifling through these guys' pockets. I don't know what you guys want to do. Quick look down.
I'm certainly going to be doing that.
Yeah, you're rifling through the pockets. Quick look down around the corner where he was. It's a dead end, just walls. You know, an entrance into these dilapidated buildings. And you're rifling through the pockets. So why doesn't everybody do a perception roll?
Aha, I'm actually proficient in that now.
Now,
thank
how
you,
did that
sailor
change?
Background.
Yeah, Andrew.
I took the sailor background.
Drake is still asleep.
Still drunk.
Yeah, you got a one. Kirik, you get advantage, or?
Just yeah, take, that's just their default.
Yeah, the just 10. Take the first. Take. Oh.
Or, sorry, 22.
Yeah, take. Yep.
Yeah, take. 16 for me.
And a 16. 7 and and Miles,
four.
You get the 4.
Yeah, I got a 4.
Okay, Penn gets 4.
4. I rolled a 4, everybody.
And what about you, Leva? Do you get advantage or just take the first roll? Uh-oh, we lost Leva. We lost your Skype.
Sorry, I forgot I was on mute. It's just the first one.
The first one, 7. All right, so you're rifling through the pockets and you are picking up from each of them. There's the coin purses are basically what all you can find of value. Their weapons are pretty shoddy. Their armor, their clothes, everything's pretty worthless. And you're probably grabbing whatever little coin bags that anything that jingles. You're grabbing. But Kirik and Anderson, I didn't make a token. You spot a gnome kind of in the shadows over here. I'm just going to use this high-definition
elf. Kill it.
Elf.
Kill it.
who looks like he's just kind of... He's crouched down, like, maybe trying to hide, but he's watching you intently. And he thinks that he's hidden from your view, but when you guys make eye contact, he goes frozen. He's just like, oh, you can't see me if I don't move. And he's just staring, waiting, just immobile, like a deer in the headlights.
Anderson's vision is based on movement.
That's right. He's like,
that is true. but Anderson's going to start stalking towards him. He's going to use the fact that he saw him, so he's going to just gauge on where he saw him last, but going prone or still. It's like, oh, crap, where'd he go?
And, yeah, when you start moving towards him, he crouches even further and goes, oh, and puts his hands up. He's got nothing. He's got no weapons in his hand, but he does back up a step and he says, well, I'm not with them. I'm not here to hurt you. I can't hurt you. Don't hurt me is more what he says. Not, I'm not here to hurt you. Don't hurt me.
Well, if you're not with them,
is something happening? Did I miss something?
Yeah, you did. You're still like you can't even perceive that they're actually moving away from you.
I rolled a 1, so I'm still looking at the blood on the ground or something.
Yeah. And Drake also.
If he tries to run, I want to cast command on him.
Okay.
Just does a reaction for it.
Okay. He looks scared. He did back up a few steps when you started approaching, but he doesn't look like he's gonna bolt. But he is. He's like don't hurt me.
If you ain't with them here folks that done attacked us, who are you? What are you doing here?
And he kind of looks up and down the street, and you know, there's not a whole lot of people passing by. It's raining, it's dark, and it's getting late. And he says, my name is Ludi Droog. I'm yeah.
Sorry.
But, yeah, it's a gnome. Ludi Droog. My name is Ludi Droog. I heard that you were looking for the gnome that rides a dragon. I know who you're talking about. His name is Seldzahn. I can take you to him.
That's kind of what these here folks said before turning on us.
And he kind of looks a little scared at that, and he doesn't look like he has any weapons. His clothes are muddy and torn. He looks very poor, very decrepit, and tiny. Old. He looks very old also.
What's in it for you if you help us out here? I don't see why you would be wanting to help us.
And and looking back up and down the street, and he's kind of exposed there, so he does take a step forward around this corner, and he won't make eye contact with you. He kind of looks down and he says, "My brother, Zeldzahn buys slaves. He used slaves, and my brother is a slave. I need to get my brother."
Anderson is rather sympathetic to this cause, as he feels that no man should be treated that way, having spent a little bit of time in such a service back in his Navy days. After a shipwreck, he got picked up, sold into slavery, but then escaped. Anyway, long story.
you start talking, and Ludi's eyes kind of glaze over. He's like,
All right, I'm definitely okay with helping you free your brother from slavery, because I believe no man should be in chains, but and where is this Zeldzahn?
All the rest of you have, of course, spotted this guy now, and that Kirik and Anderson have moved towards him. Zeldzahn, he's near the center of the island. He has a compound there. He collects herbs. He uses slaves to collect his herbs to sell. But he's in the middle of the island. And again, looking back up and down the street, so it's not safe to talk here. If you would help me, I will help you, and we should get to a safer location.
I guess that sounds agreeable. Anderson's kind of squinting his eyes as this gnome keeps appearing and disappearing from his vision.
That's right. He's not moving right now. You think you see something moving over here.
He's really confused. He's just hearing voices, not seeing things.
Yeah. You see a rat over here, and you think it's him, but it's not. You start walking over there.
What's funny is my vision in real life is actually somewhat based on movement. So.
Told you.
So as this conversation is going on, Liv is just going to kind of like make her way back up the alley towards this new guy. And the fact that we haven't attacked him yet is a good sign, but she's still kind of suspicious. So I rolled an insight check, just to see like if she feels he's on the level about this. Cause you know, as Anderson said, we did just get jumped by people claiming they were going to help us. So
yeah. And an 18 on your insight, his voice is, you know, he's scared. He's obviously scared. He doesn't seem to be faking being scared. His clothes in the dirt and his basically, you know, just ratty looking appearance does not seem to be faked in any way. He seems to be on the level.
All right. And for the record, that's probably the best insight check I will ever roll.
If only you had a vantage, you could have taken an 18.
Yeah.
Right?
Double. Quickly now, let's get indoors, out of the street. And yeah, he's looking back up the street.
I'm on board with the not being next to the bodies plan.
Yeah, maybe we should step away from the dead bodies.
Did we get everything off them that we could possibly use? Maybe they have a clue. I mean, they did lead us to this strange alley. Maybe they had something to do with that there, fella. Anderson's also going to spend his die to his second wind. Because I didn't spend it last time, and I kind of need it.
Okay.
So I got to roll a d10 plus my con for a whopping 6.
Nice. And he says, he hears you talking about, you know, maybe they got some clues, and he says Gashur is he's not a smart orc. He's just a thug, just a bandit. He was just trying to rob you. I don't know what he told you. If he could lead you to Zeldzahn, I highly doubt he even knows who Zeldzahn is.
How do you know about that orc fella?
Gashur, everybody in this part of town knows about that guy. He's a bully.
You mean was?
Was. And he spits. Gashur.
All right, that seems like a plausible story.
Quickly now, we must go. He starts moving.
Ah, there we are. Just waiting for you to see you.
And he as you guys round the corner down at the bottom, to the south around the other corner, you see, you know, like what looks like a couple people and maybe like a guard might be turning around, people talking, but you're able to move up the street quickly out of the way. He says, "Draw your hoods up over your heads if you have them. Hide your faces. Let's move quick."
Don't mind me.
Yeah. So he takes you up and through the city. It's pouring rain. To a rundown building, and goes in through the back. And there's you don't see too many people. Maybe a person passing in the hall. And he takes you into a room. Small. It's got like just a mattress in one corner, and just a little place for a tiny, you know, stove. And a table and a chair, and there's really not much else. Really just a box with odd assortments of clothing and things like that in it. And this is my home. And we can stay here for now, but we'll need to move out in the morning. We'll need to hire a boat to take us upriver. The path through the jungle is would take too long, and it's too treacherous.
That's a nice looking home you have here. Of course, Anderson is comparing that to his shack. As for the boat, we just need to get us a boat. I mean, if we have to pay for one or rent one, I don't know how it works here. But I am an accomplished sailor. Been doing it most of my life.
And he doesn't know how to take your compliment about his nice home at first. And he says, I don't know if we could purchase a boat, possibly. But
if it need be, I mean, we could always just borrow a boat and bring it back when we're done.
And yeah, he mulls us over and says, "Okay, we could see about that, about borrowing a boat."
Would it be better to just have someone take us? I don't know if there's anything special about the water than the air.
Well, and he says, "Yeah, well, that's the tricky part is that, yeah, that Seldzahn controls most of the traffic up and down the river since his stronghold is at the end, on the opposite side of the lake that feeds the river that runs down into the bay, and most of the boat captains that travel the river they work for him, and if somebody's caught going up and down the river." Doing something that wasn't predetermined by Seldzahn to be part of his business, they might run into a little trouble. So hiring a boat might not be easy, but I'm sure we could find somebody if for the right price. I'm certainly cheaper than buying a boat. And maybe I should check the player's handbook for how much a boat costs before I say that.
It's quite a bit. I got away with it for quite the steal.
Shoot.
Especially a size that would accommodate all of us.
Right.
It's somewhat pricey. Because like a rowboat is 50 gold. But a rowboat...
Yeah,
not
and it
exactly...
just skyrockets from there.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
The next one would be a keelboat, which is about the same, but that's 3,000, so.
What if we just cobbled together a giant raft made of hobo trash?
A catamaran?
Yes.
We could lash the dead bodies in the alley together.
They'll float for a little while.
Then we'd have to worry about alligators.
Not too long.
And that's Anderson's third biggest fear.
Alligators.
Yep. It goes fog that sucks you in and eats you. Crocodiles, alligators, in that order.
All right.
And number four is an aneurysm.
Where do jelly squids fall then?
That's number seven.
All right.
Just recently moved up from the 12 position.
No, actually, they went down. They were number six, but after being inside one, he didn't. He's like, well, these aren't as scary as I thought. Like, there's a shit. So they got demoted.
Nice. All right. So here at night, he's saying we can rest here. If you guys, there's tiny, I mean, it's tiny, but you can lay down on the floor if you're going to sleep. I don't know what you want to do. And he says, if we need anything to go upriver, we can get it maybe in the morning. But a boat would be good if you need anything else, you need to let me know. And if you have any other like questions or anything for him too.
I'm gonna ask him if he knows a good place to resupply, because that's part of the reason we came to town. But I don't think we actually got to that last time.
Right. Yeah. You never actually bought anything.
I should also mention, Leva, you probably want to get a cartographer's tools, not navigator's. Navigator's is for sea.
Yeah, I noticed that.
All right. All right. Then... So... You're going to chill out for a while.
I do suggest that we keep a watch, because, I mean, as nice as this is, I just don't trust this guy. He's like, yeah, come to my house. Go to sleep. Nothing bad will happen.
Yeah.
We've made so many friends today.
I'm glad I'm not the only one who doesn't trust this fucking gnome.
To be fair, I'm not basing it on race. I'm just basing it on circumstance.
He's catching the...
Hey, man. When you're right, you're right.
He's catching Drake's dirty looks, and he's keeping himself. He's keeping a couple of the you guys in between him and Drake at all times.
Use the word looks. I think it's his look.
Yeah,
I'm not racist, but I'm going to keep an eye on that gnome.
That's right.
And my coin purse. Gnomes have sticky fingers.
Yeah. All right, so I'm pulling up the equipment list here. All right, so he'll tell you, he just kind of goes into a little more detail about his brother. He says, my brother Malchik is a prisoner and a slave of Saldzan, and the slaves are forced to gather the flowers of the Britza vines that are high up in the canopy of the forest. Saldzan is an accomplished herbalist and uses all of his potions and wares to keep his prisoners and his slaves under his control. They're constantly drugged, and I have heard that he has drugged a dragon that he keeps and uses for his own needs, which is unheard of, but. That's when I got word that there were elves in town looking for a gnome that rides a dragon. I knew who you were looking for.
Holy shit, word gets around fast.
Yeah, well, you guys spent a good part of that day asking around that a couple of different taverns.
Okay. Okay, I thought we were just in the one tavern. I'm like, Jesus!
Yeah, no, there nobody was really offering up. Too much advice. I mean, too much information until the Garshoom or whatever the hell his name is came up and tried to steal all your money. So yeah, we will take the boat Hiram
Stupid Gashulan booed.
Yeah. Booed, that was the other dude. Booed. So, okay, so yeah, so you guys take a couple shifts. What's the order? Who's staying up first?
I think maybe we should start with some of the elves. That way they can get their 4 hours or, you know.
Yeah.
Well, Liv will offer to take first.
All right.
Well, and while entranced, we're still aware of our surroundings.
Right.
Yeah, it's just like doubling up on the protection in my mind.
Yeah.
I made you guys walk all up into this corner up here. That's where I'm going to spring the trap. Whoop. Okay, so yeah, the night goes uneventful, and Ludi, he gets a little bit of sleep here and there. In the morning, as it's still raining outside, but the gray light starts to filter in through the one tiny little window that's shuttered up, practically nailed shut. But you can see light coming through. It's leaking. And he puts some hot water on and he says, I don't have anything to offer you except some tea. And so he starts preparing tea, and if you guys have any food on you, you can probably eat some of that, and then you can go ahead and reset everything up to full rest.
Anderson will offer him a day's worth of his rations.
He's very grateful. He says, oh, I love salted roasted crab, shark, jelly, squid.
Well, I mean, it's the rations we got from the cult there.
Right, the Primumare.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's basically what they eat. Salted jelly. Salted jelly squids. Oh, you got your replacement. What's that ability called?
Portent.
Portent. So you can substitute those two numbers anywhere?
Yeah. It just has to be somebody that I can see.
Prior to roll, so now I'm going to be rolling really quick. I'm going to go, oh, too late. all right. So, yeah. So you guys get, you're feeling refreshed for what it's worth in this tiny little hovel of a room. And he's going about preparing some tea, and you mentioned that you want to pick up maybe some gear, and he says, yes, we can. What are a few of the things? I'm sure everything that you want to purchase can be found near the docks along the river. Let's go over there. Where is it? I don't know. That's all right. Look at this. I tried to darken a few things there. So yeah, the city's down there by the shore, the western shore, eastern shore, and the river, and you get down on the docks, and he takes you by a few general goods stores. You said you wanted navigator's tools, or...
Probably cartographer's tools.
Cartographer's tools.
She's more about land navigation.
Right, and those are, here they are, 15 gold. Yep. Yeah, I'll just leave the PHB book. Oh, so when you were back there, let me yell in your ear, that you go through all the little sacks of coins from the guys that you fought. One of them got away, but from the four others, you'd find 18 gold and 22 silver between them. Five of those gold are actually the five that you gave for him to lead you there. So there's that. I haven't kept track of all the gold that you guys have, which is next to none.
Yeah, we got. Remember, we have that that small slush fund from the Primo Mare for essentials.
Right. Yeah, we're up to 68 gold now.
That's right. All right.
So, I mean, we're living the high life.
Yeah, you guys are flush. All right. So,
things I want to get right now are the cartographer's tools and then just another, probably like a whole nother quiver of arrows and then enough to refill the one that I already have.
Okay. How much silver was that, Al?
Did I say 22?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, 22. Yeah, that's what you said.
Yeah. Yeah, 22. Okay, so a quiver is gold. And 20 arrows is a gold. So, for, and it's 10 silver to a gold.
Yeah, it is.
So, yeah, that's great.
So, to fill up, I don't know how many arrows you're missing, but the guy will sell you a quiver full of arrows and fill up the rest of your quiver for two gold, 5 silver.
That's reasonable. That's about right. So I will do that.
I should make it higher because this is such a seedy town, but I'm just gonna we'll just get this done. Get the gear.
Are you paying out of your
personal
track of the group funds right now?
Yes. That's why I'm cutting you off and asking if you're paying from your personal or not.
Okay, sorry.
No, that's totally me cutting you off. You have nothing to be sorry about.
for the navigators or cartographers' tools, I'll ask for that come from the group fund. But for arrows, I'm fine on just buying those from my own stock.
Yeah, that's definitely cool. I mean, the group will make use of you having cartographers' tools. So,
yeah. I mean, I'm sure you'll make use of me having arrows, too, but, you know, that's kind of my thing, so.
As long as we can put you to work making maps and selling those maps, because we're pretty broke for level 3 characters.
Yeah.
I think our quest level 3 characters, changed. Thanks. We're gonna make counterfeit maps that lead to great treasures.
That's right. For the quite reasonable price of 200 gold.
My prestige class is entrepreneur.
Ah, you're looking around this docks and thinking, man, I could probably make a little bit of coin here.
There's a lot of stupid humans here.
Yeah. Yeah, Anderson doesn't have anything that he wants to buy. He still has his net sack. And, of course, the pack that he got from the Prima Mari, so.
Yeah.
And I think everything else I wanted was stuff that they were able to provide for us, because it was pretty mundane stuff.
Yeah.
So, I'm good.
All right, and so Ludi is kind of asking around about a boat. And... he has to go to a few places and say, yeah, we want to charter a boat, get up the river. And he says, okay, I found somebody, but, you know, he won't do it for anything less than 15 gold.
Won't or can't? Sorry, won't or can't?
Well, that's what he said. That's his price for going up the river. He says it's not easy. There's lots of eyes around here. 15 gold.
I'm sorry, did you say ice?
Eyes.
Eyes.
There's lots of ice.
Aren't we in like a jungle?
Yeah, it's very humid and it's pouring rain.
Glacier clan moved in overnight.
Yeah, and the water, you know, it's pretty high, and just hanging around the docks, you can pick up pieces of, you know, conversations where people are talking, you know, concerned about how much, you know, how high the tide got. There's this one particularly nice looking lady with blonde hair. She says, the tide is high. I'm moving on. She's ready to go. Pack up and go. It's Blondie. Sorry. I had to add that in. Though it died horribly. But it is. The rain is pouring. The tide is high. The docks are flooded with water. But yeah, this guy says he can do it.
And as a marcher upon us.
Say that again?
Go ahead, Glenn.
Go ahead, Rob.
I love Skype. Somebody's going to go, Rob, go ahead. What were you saying?
Oh, I was just saying, I don't think we really have a whole lot of choice in the matter. It's still cheaper than buying a new boat.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like we're going to have any real choice in that, so 15 gold.
All right, so you guys get yourselves a boat. There's a guy with a small crew. They got their sails, their oars, and it's with all this rain and the water, you would think that the river would be flooded and pouring down, but there's almost kind of this equilibrium of water moving, coming in the tide from the ocean, the water coming down from the river is not as big of a torrent as you would expect with this much rain. So it doesn't pose too big of a problem for them to head upriver at this time. So you guys load on and settle in, because it'll be half a day's travel up the river to get to the lake. So, unless you got anything going on, it's a jungle. It's a jungle out there. And he makes his way slowly, and his men are right on the bow and the aft, and just keeping an eye out for any passing boats. At one point around a bend, they do spot another boat coming down, and they kind of tell you guys, hey, you know, don't make any, you know, keep yourselves low, keep your faces hidden. We don't want anybody to see elves, you know, coming up the river. You guys are easy to spot with your high definition faces. Yeah, just keep going back to that. And then so they come within, you know, 50 yards of each other, and just a hail and go on by. People are, you know, it's raining, they're covered up, moving along. These guys don't seem to be concerned at all about you guys moving up and down the river, and you make it up to the lake by afternoon time. You left early in the morning and get up there by 3 or so, 4 in the afternoon.
Al, is Ludi Droog with us?
Ludi, yeah, he came with you. Ludi Droog, Lyudi, Ludi. He's with you, and you guys go across the lake, where the river that's coming down into the lake, it actually is moving pretty quickly. You can see it from a ways off. It empties out into the lake, you know, white water kind of rapids in the boat. It's not going to go up there, but there's a place where the boats lay off, and the boat captain is not going to take you right to the landing area, because that's where all the trade comes from. Seldzon. So he drops you off a little ways away from that, and thanks you very much, takes your 15 gold, and heads off. And Ludi says, yeah, we're gonna have to travel on foot by here. We can get up to the base camp of the slaves, where they hold the slaves. They're not guarded, because they're all drugged, and they make their way out during the day with little oversight. There are a few, but we should be able to get there within an hour or few hours, and they'll probably be returning from their day of work gathering the vines.
Maybe it's just me. But I figured the boat was going to wait for us. How do you suppose we're going to be getting back?
He says, well, that the boat was for a one-way trip. He's already gone. I guess we could wreck on that if you wanted to haggle with him some more to see if he would wait there.
Nah, we'll steal something or make something. I don't know.
Yeah, you're probably going to have to steal a boat. Get yourselves back down the river.
I think I can do it.
So,
just saying.
You got some stealing. You got some boat stealing skills.
I mean, I got mad stealing skills. Yeah. Boat stealing skills. Dog stealing skills.
Yeah.
I've stolen diseases before.
But do you have nunchuck fighting skills?
I stole nunchuck fighting skills once.
That is a trick.
Like, literally, someone had a book on nunchuck fighting in their pocket, and I took it.
This is mine now.
I will master it.
Leva offers worst case scenario. I can get us through the forest. The forest is kind of my home turf. I know the jungle is not quite the same as what we're used to, but the principles are the same.
My worry is not that we will get lost. It's these could be giant monsters or other things in that there forest that could eat us.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, I don't know about it from a technical standpoint, but a forest and a jungle are very different things.
They both got trees. They're exactly the same.
Yeah.
So, these slaves.
Yeah. So, yeah, you heading up, following kind of along the river. Ludi is directing you to, and he points out these. You know, the jungle trees are huge, and the canopy is, you know, 200, you know, 100, 150 feet up in the air. And he says that's where they harvest the flowers of the Britza vines. And they climb up there and bring them down each day and take them back to their little huts.
Well, what's so special about them, their flowers?
Well, the Britza flowers make a very, very potent poison, and it can also be used for a few other things, but for mostly it's for the poison that is untraceable, unsmell. You can't smell it, you can't taste it, and it has no color, so it's highly valued in Seldzan. Alag trades in these poisons and potions.
I was just curious.
All right, so yeah, so you're making your way up, following along the river, and at one point you're looking back towards the lake where those rapids come in, and you see a couple of boats that are approaching it and getting towards that area, and like all of a sudden an enormous amount of water comes pouring down the river from the mountains and literally just capsizes all three of the boats, and they're just smashed up. And all the people in them are what you can make. It's a long. You're a long ways off. You're kind of high up, a little high up, looking back down into the river, into the lake, and you see a few people drag themselves out of the water onto the shore. They're a long ways off, and what one distinguishing character that you can pick out from this is just a very, very large humanoid with plate mail armor and a massive sword. You can see this guy from a long ways off, and he just stands above others, and he just looks furious, yelling. You can almost hear his voice from this over the din of the water, just yelling and furious. And then he gathers up what he can and a few people here and there, and then kind of heads up a different way up towards what looks like a road that works its way along the white water of the river. And when you kind of follow it with your eye, Ludi points up high up the river towards where the mountains start developing, and you can just make out what looks like a stronghold or a keep. It's pretty well hidden with all the trees and stuff, but you're in a spot where you can get a good view of it, and just barely make it out. And you saw there's Seldzun's keep. Seldzun's hideout. Seldzun's.
These boats that got capsized, did they go further up the lake rapids than the boat that we were traveling on did?
No, right where this river empties out into the lake, there's a lot of, there's rapids there, and they just looks like they got too close to it, but really the water, yeah, don't mess with anybody that can swim to shore in full play. He's enormous. But yeah, it looks like it was just this incredible amount of water that seemed to come out of nowhere from down the river. It didn't look, it was out of the ordinary for sure. You were kind of taken aback by the violence of the water and the amount of water that came down.
All right, now I just want to just make sure it doesn't seem fishy. Like, hey, our boat went there and it didn't get capsized. Something seems off here. But if they went further, then that makes, doesn't seem to set anything off in Anderson's, crazy paranoia.
Right, yeah. Yeah, the boat captain let you off a ways down from where all the other boats seem to be docking, or a place where they would dock for all the trade that Seldzun does. So when you make it through the jungle a ways, and Ludi says we're getting close to the slaves' huts, the slaves' village, and we need to be more careful here, because although there aren't many guards or overseers, it's protected by magic and by trained snakes.
Trained snakes, huh?
Yeah.
How big are these snakes?
They're very dangerous. They're large and they're very dangerous. And they don't attack the drugged slaves. They can sense it. They can smell that the slaves are not a threat. But when other people approach, they can smell. They know the difference.
And what is that drug they're made of? Maybe we can try and fool them into thinking we are them by the smell.
He says, I wouldn't know how to make it. That's one of Seldzun's concoctions. It may be possible that they may have some with their huts, within their huts, but I wouldn't know how to make it. I'm no herbalist. I wouldn't even know where to look.
That they're poison from the flowers that they go and climb and grab. Is that something that you just touch it and you get poisoned, or do you have to do something like add baking soda and some water, cook it up kind of deal?
Yeah, the flowers that they harvest are just an ingredient, but the main ingredient, I don't know. I'm sure if you ate one of them, you would probably die. But I don't think touching them would kill you.
Oh, no, I'm not thinking about eating it. I'm thinking about me rubbing the flour all over us, and maybe that's what they smell when they... Snake smell, right? That's what they do?
Snakes, they can smell. They smell. Somebody told me they smell through their tongues.
Yeah.
It's gross.
They triangulate with the tips. That's why they're forked.
That's right.
Anderson is now going to begin to try and attempt such a feat, so you just see him, every so often sticking out his tongue eh? No, okay, not... He's almost as if he's performing a scientific experiment, smell with your tongue. Maybe I can do that.
Yeah. And you don't smell anything. But you get so, you get rainwater on your tongue, and you kind of like it.
So how do you suppose we deal with them giant snakes?
I don't know. I stay away from them.
I was kind of also asking that to the party as well. My fellow friends here. But thank you, Ludi, for being right on the ball.
Well,
are they constructs or are they like real snakes that have just been tamed?
Oh, they're real. They live here in the jungle. And yeah,
what
they're
do they
eat? They're trained. They eat whatever they can get their hands on. I'm sure birds, small, you know.
Gnomes.
They eat what?
Oh, just kidding. Gnomes.
Gnomes. Yeah. They eat small gnomes.
I love your thinking, Rob. This is why me and Rob are friends.
Do the snakes have some sort of patrol? Or are they just stationed somewhere? Like, what are our options or the odds of us sneaking past them?
I've never tried to enter the village.
I'd be more than camp trying to feed them something. If we can find something nearby-ish. And, they can only eat so much. Depending on how many snakes there are. You know, if there's like 3 or 5 or something, not if there's like 20.
For the first time, I will actually talk to the gnome and see if he knows where we can find any Rufalin.
You need to concentrate.
He says, I'm not aware of that plant.
Figures. Why would I think a gnome would be useful? Then I'll go back to ignoring him.
He just kind of kicks at a rock at his feet. He looks pretty sad. You hurt his feelings.
Gnomes don't have feelings. It's just screws. Yeah.
Anderson put his arm, or hand, I guess. I was going to say put his arm around him, but that would be impossible given the height difference. Puts his hand on Ludi's shoulder.
Just tussle his hair. They love when you do that.
Yeah.
Don't worry. He's like that for everybody. Yeah. You'll get used to him. You're a good lad.
You got to reach under the pointed red hat. You can pick the hat up and then...
No, he's not an animal. I'm not going to tussle his hair.
So, if we're interested in baiting them, that's certainly something we can pursue. We just need to go hunting. Because I would wager that the rations we have are not going to be tempting enough.
Yeah, you could try going... Try to find some kind of a game. Wombats.
I like to think I have some pretty seductive rations. I mean, they're pretty tempting.
Put some spice on that. Put some snake spice.
If anybody's got prestidigitation, you can flavor them however you want.
Yeah, I can do that for you. How do you want them to taste?
Wouldn't putting snake spice on the meat mean that they would be eating something that tastes like snakes?
Isn't snake spice just poison? Can we be real here?
Yeah. They like the taste of their own poison, though.
That's a little perverse.
Can we just use the gnome as bait? I mean, I know where we were all thinking it.
Finally, we get down to business.
Yeah, can we just address the elephant in the room?
The tiny, tiny elephant.
Anderson will defend Ludi. He has taken a shining to him. Much like one takes a shining to a small child.
I like Ludi.
But he's really more like Old Yeller. I mean, eventually he's going to get rabid and you're going to have to put him down.
And I will cry just like every time I watch that movie.
Spoiler.
Yes, spoiler. Yeah.
Sorry, I think there's like at least a decade or two limit on spoilers.
Yeah.
You haven't like seen a movie at this point. Yeah. Or like spoiling the Titanic, if you didn't already know what's gonna fucking happen to the ship to begin with.
Don't tell me.
I mean, we could just...
Sorry, Anderson.
I was just gonna suggest that we just go in guns a-blazing. I'll shoot all the snakes in their eyes, and then we can just run.
I'm tired of these motherfucking snakes.
Yeah,
on this motherfucking plane of existence. Yeah. I am for the going hunting to bait, or I don't want to use our rations because you never know how long we'll be out here. Plus, yeah. they tend to like kind of living fresh stuff.
Sorry, I had something in my
throat. Gnome can't feed all of them.
I had something in my throat, dude. Sorry.
Yeah. I'm still in that camp.
Yeah, that a boy, Rob.
The camp of getting fresh food.
I knew I hated you, Rob. Yeah, I don't have any like helpful suggestions. I'm down with whatever.
I don't think it really goes over well for the lawful good cleric to feed a gnome to them.
I like to think that I'm the party's drunken fool who's also really skilled. So I have my uses, but usually I'm not helpful at all.
So it's sounding like the hunting plan is the leading one right now. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Alright. So do we want to split up into a couple parties or just stay together since we don't know what's out there? Or
I think it might be better if we stay together just in case we inadvertently walk into like a snake's nest. No pun intended. It'd be better if we were all together.
Sounds good.
Plus we could find our RUSs.
Yeah. And the
RUSs,
send.
Sorry.
I don't think they exist. All right, that is it for episode 18 of The Pearl, and keep getting messed up, because for Brave New Dungeon, we're on something like episode 68 or something like that, but this is The Pearl 18. Yeah, there are old episodes, 4E campaign that I ran a while back, and just fell apart. Some good episodes in there, and one of that DM talk episode, I think Glenish mentioned one episode where there was this these seafaring dwarves having a harvesting ceremony, and I was looking that back up, and that's called Going to a Fish Fry, which if you're familiar with the band Big Black, he has a song called Fish Fry, but anyway, has nothing to do with the song, has a lot to do with dwarves and fish. Anyway, you can check out those old episodes. Some of them aren't available on like iTunes or whatever, but you can go to the website, bravenewdungeon.com, and there's a page there called DL, the LP. That's Download the Live Play, and every episode I've done is on there. You can listen to it in the browser, or you can download it, save it, and listen to it later. Anyway, moving along on the Pearl. Things are getting heated up. We're about to do Session 9. Yeah, so this is the beginning of Session 8, and this coming Saturday we're going to be playing Session 9, and things are heating up. They're closing in on this nasty gnome. So that's it. I will see you next time. Check out the website, bravenewdungeon.com. Follow the Twitter, @BraveNewDungeon. Have a good one.